copyright Forum of Christian Leaders. The contents contained on this website are solely for your own individual, non-commercial, and informational use. Any other use is strictly prohibited without our express prior written consent. See the full copyright disclosure at focalonline.org.
Good morning, or good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you are. My name's Ann Blazer. I'm from the U.S., and I have been in ministry to women for maybe nearly 40 years now. And so I am going to be talking to you today a little bit about some of my observations that have to do with ministry and women teaching scripture. So this is a little bit different from the kind of teaching that I normally would do out of the Bible. This is coming more out of my own experience in having ministered with and to women. I want to begin with a confession. My confession is that when I started in ministry for women, I can tell you that I really didn't like women all that well. And that is a confession because God has changed that in me and made a difference in me in that way. But I can tell you in my background, I grew up in a family with five sisters and two brothers. So there were six girls, two boys. And, you know, with all those sisters, there was a lot of drama. And I can remember really enjoying the company of my dad. I felt like I was sort of his helper because my brothers were much younger and didn't come along till later. And so I found myself being sort of my dad's helper. I was the one who held the boards when he was sawing. I was the one who mowed the grass, and I was a tree climber, and I was the one who, I preferred the company of my dad. And I found it as I got older, I still preferred the company of men. I think probably because of the logic and the practicality of men's conversations. But it's interesting that God knew that was something that needed to change in me. And so he gave me ministry to women. And as much as that surprised me, I found myself really recognizing that I needed to have a love for women. And so that was something that I prayed for. And I had a very close friend who prayed that for me as well. And God has used me for about 35 years or maybe a little more in ministry to women. And I have taught scripture to them and trained women how to lead others. And the ministry was called Bible Study Fellowship International. And I did that. I taught a Bible Study Fellowship class for 23 years. And that consisted of training leaders and teaching a lecture every week, giving a lecture every week. And I think that has been a great privilege. And then the next role that God gave me was a role of being an area advisor for teaching leaders. So I traveled to classes and I would be there to watch their leadership skills and give them aids and helps and listen to them lecture and be an encouragement to them and help to them in any way possible. And I think that's probably been one of the greatest privileges of my life, to be involved with women and teaching the Bible. And so I think I could probably tell you for sure, now he would make a joke of it, but my husband would tell you that my own personal study of the Bible is what has made me a better teacher, I'm sorry, a better mother, a better wife, and of course, a better leader of women as well. And Bill, my husband, has always been very supportive of me in what we recognize God was calling me to do. I think that's an important point to make, is that a husband needs to be supportive of what God calls his wife to do in ministry. When I was first asked to take the role of Bible Study Fellowship teaching leader, I was kind of in shock, but it was so gratifying for me and so helpful to me to find that my husband didn't think so. In fact, what he said was, he wondered how long it would take them to figure out I was the right person for the job. And that was a real encouragement to me. And as I prayed about taking on that very demanding role, his encouragement and confidence in me was what made all the difference. And I also spoke to my pastor, who agreed with my husband that it was a good place for me to use my God-given gifts. And I'm very grateful to God for his provision for me in this way, because it is systematic and personal Bible study that has been the means by which I have grown and matured as a woman and a wife and a mother and a leader of others. And I hope and I believe that other women have also grown as a result of my efforts to teach them scripture and to train them in leadership skills. About 18 years ago or so, my brother, Greg Pritchard, came to me and said, "Ann, I'd like for you to come to Europe, to the European Leadership Forum, and do some teaching." And he said that there weren't a lot of women teachers in Europe. And so I began doing that. And on my very first trip to the European Leadership Forum, I was having dinner with a group of participants, European participants. And near the end of the dinner, I asked a European pastor, he was Eastern European, if he had a women's Bible study in his church. And he replied, yes, that he did. And then I asked him if he knew what they were studying at that time. And he told me, oh, well, the women will come to church on Monday morning, and he would ask them if they had any questions about his sermon the previous day. Now, I pause there because that was shocking to me, that's what their Bible study consisted of, that they would ask questions about the sermon because they had no preparation on their own part for being in the scripture. That was the extent of their women's Bible study. And so I asked him if he knew of a woman or two in that group of women that came who really loved the scripture and who would want to teach other women, that he could train to teach the scriptures to the women in a women's Bible study. But he said, oh no, only the pastor teaches. Now that was maybe 18 years ago or so. But I've never forgotten his response because I thought it was so strange that asking a pastor about his sermon was a Bible study, because these women did not engage in the scripture for themselves. They had no preparation for it except listening to the sermon the day before. And not only that, but for a pastor who has so much to do in his church to take on all the Bible teaching just seemed like an overwhelming job. Well, a lot has changed in Europe in the last 18 years. And so things have been changing in a lot of ways. However, last year when I was at ELF, I was asked to speak about my year-round ministry in the Foundational Discipleship Network. Just tell a little bit about it. I was supposed to give a little pitch for the year-round mentoring. And as I was speaking about it, I told that story, the story of the Eastern European pastor doing all the teaching. And as I got to the line that he said, oh no, only pastors teach, I kind of expected that there might be a chuckle, or that people would look like, you know, that seemed kind of strange. But all the listeners were quiet. No one thought that was a strange thing at all, that the Bible study was just women asking about the sermon. So I think what I've found is that through the years, there are still quite a lot of churches that evidently still do not have women teaching other women the Bible. And so I've thought and prayed about it a lot in the last year, this seeming waste of a workforce in our churches. And I'd like to give a few thoughts on the advantages of training women to teach the Bible to other women. First of all, this advances biblical literacy. I mean, we want all the people of all God's people to be literate in the Bible, to be able to really navigate through the Bible and understand how to study it for themselves, how to find personal applications. It gives the other half of your church, the female half of your church, the opportunity to grow and be matured by personal study of God's word. And so I'd like to just give you a quote. I read an article that was written by Jen Wilkin. Jen Wilkin is a Bible study teacher who teaches women in the United States. And she made this point, and I quote, "You need women in your church workforce. You may be the best preacher on the planet, but God wouldn't have gifted women to teach unless their teaching were absolutely necessary to the spiritual well-being of the women in your church. You need her help." Now, I want to go ahead with this premise, the premise that pastors need the help of women to teach other women. Now, one reason for this is that a woman is an example that a pastor cannot be. When a woman sees someone who looks like her and sounds like her teaching the Bible with passion, with intelligence, she begins to recognize that she too can love God with her mind, perhaps beyond what she had thought necessary or even possible. When I was about 30, and I was a fairly new Christian in a women's Bible study, I heard a woman teaching. And I realized that I not only admired her, I also admired her life, her relationship with God. And I wanted that same intimacy with God that I saw in her life. I yearned to know God the way she did. And at that time, I had joined 3 Bible studies. I was so hungry to know the Word of God. But yearning to be like this woman who had such an intimate relationship with the Lord gave me a desire to really dig in more. I found myself reading more, using the footnotes and the marginal references. I wanted to look up the related passage to see how they applied, and I found myself comparing the gospel stories in the different versions. Women who only hear men handle the Bible well sometimes forget to consider themselves capable of doing the same. Women benefit from seeing a smart and diligent woman set an example of what it means to teach the Bible with reverence and skill. Now, there's a second reason that I think pastors need the help of women, a woman, to teach other women, and that is a woman brings a perspective that you cannot. When men teach, they quite naturally draw on examples that resonate with men. This means that women who exclusively hear male teaching are going to be offered a fair amount of testosterone-laden illustrations from a male perspective. And that's fine. I actually prefer listening to a man teach because I like the logic of it and the practicalness of it. I take notes. I look for application to my life. But part of what's made me a better listener during sermons is that I know more about studying the Bible than I used to. I know about studying the Bible for myself. And so I watch for the structure of the pastor's message. I listen for word definitions. I admire a great illustration. And I'm hungry for the applications. But you know, I also really love enjoying a really good woman teacher who does these same things that you just heard me speak of from a man's teaching, but who also speaks the language of homemaking and child rearing and the balance of home and ministry or work. I love to hear a good illustration from a woman teacher from her own experience in the lives of rearing her own children and how she managed in the difficult situations. There's so much for women to learn from another woman. she can draw a few different observations than the text that a man might. And that's not to say that she will feminize a text. I don't mean that. But that she will likely emphasize those elements of the text that highlight the role of women in redemptive history, or that speak to sin issues that women commonly face. And she's going to naturally direct her applications to her audience of women. Years back, when I was writing a workshop to give here at the forum, the workshop was on women characters of the Bible. And one of the subjects that I was including was fear. And the subject, the person of scripture was Esther. And I ran the material past Greg Pritchard. Now, Greg has been a huge encouragement to me through the years. And he's exhibited confidence in me. And he always checks what I'm going to be speaking on and helps me. He gives me huge helps and always has. And has helped me to grow in godliness, in understanding. He's helped me to study church history, and I have to credit him greatly with the help that he has given to me over the years. And so when I was writing that material for that workshop, he did the usual thing for me. He looked through it all, and he said he wasn't so sure that teaching about Esther's fear was a real need for my workshop to have to consider what it is to put faith over fear. But I convinced him that for women, and from my perspective, Esther's story needed to remain in the workshop. And as it turned out, it was overwhelmingly the subject that was most resonated with the women in our discussion. As a woman, I had a sense about my own fears that gave me an understanding of what my audience would need to hear. Well, the third reason that a pastor needs women teachers in their church is that a woman holds an authority with other women that a pastor cannot. Now, by that, I just mean this, that a woman can tell other women to beware of making idols of their careers or their families in a way that maybe a pastor cannot. A woman can address other women on things like vanity and pride, certainly on submission. Submission, when taught from a woman, the teaching from a woman to a woman is going to bear more weight. And things like contentment and modesty and manner of dress, these are subjects that a woman can teach another woman. She holds an empathetic authority over her female students because a woman has the ability to say, I understand the besetting sins and the trials of womanhood from my own life, and I have seen God be faithful to his promise. And so I can just give you the example of a woman that I'm shepherding right now. We have been studying in 1 Peter in chapter 3, where it talks about wives in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. And it goes on in that passage, and down in verse 5, it talks about women adorning themselves. But then it speaks about submission. It says, they submitted themselves to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her Lord. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. And with this young woman that I've been studying with, there was a real sense of fear for her. In thinking about how she would submit to her husband, she was really worried that that he would not respond biblically to her submission. And that is something that is a real insecurity that exists for women when they're working through a passage such as that. Because a woman has to wonder that when she submits to her husband, will God be able to use that in her husband's life to help him to respond biblically. You see, we resist giving up control. We worry about being treated like a doormat. We think that we will not be taken seriously, that we're not respected. A woman who teaches the whole counsel of Scripture to other women will find times to confront the sins that women might resent hearing from a man. And she can say even things like, monthly hormones are not an excuse for murder or rage. And she can maybe even get a good-natured laugh out of it. Whereas if a man tries to teach that, yes, women will listen, but there will be some possible resentment or maybe a sense that it's self-serving from him. There's no one can teach submission in the life that what it will look like in the life, what it really looks like in the life of a woman better than another woman who has learned to live it. And when a woman Bible teacher is teaching from 1 Corinthians 7 that concerns married life, it's probably only a woman who can teach women that physical ministry to our husbands with tenderness, with selflessness, and with passionate love will get a willing response. Because if it comes from a man, it could sound critical and it might backfire with resentment. And so the fourth reason that pastors need women teachers in their church is that a woman sees needs that you do not see. In the week-to-week contact of her ministry, a woman teacher will get the pulse of the women in her church that a man might not. Pastor, if your wife is sometimes a mystery to you, consider that you might need some help decoding the needs of the female half of your congregation. Having ministered to women for nearly 40 years, I know that in terms of ministry, women can be different, very different from one another. Not all women are meant to be Bible teachers any more than all men are suited to this work. Many women will see the benefit to their character and in their lives as they study Scripture, but only some are gifted by God to be teachers. In a group of 10, I might have one or two who really love the deep truths of Scripture. I'll have five or six more who love being in the Word, and they see that it makes a difference in their attitude, and they love growing and being practical and seeing how to obey. And there are always probably maybe two or three that are just starting out in learning the Scripture and that are there for the social value. And that's okay, because God is going to grow all who come and study. But having the one or two who love the Bible and who love to really dig deeply and want to expand their study, that is exciting to have those women in the Bible study. And as those two are meant to develop their gifts, just as the other eight are meant to develop their gifts, their different gifts. Last year, I was at ELF, and I was in the Foundational Discipleship Network when there was a guest speaker. And the guest speaker was from an Eastern European country, and he was developing his point, and he asked who the oldest woman in the room was. I thought he was a man of courage to ask that question, and I raised my hand and said that I was probably the oldest woman in the room. And so he wanted to make a point by asking the oldest woman in the room, if I had the opportunity to meet with three young women, would I rather teach them the Bible or would I rather teach them to bake a cake? Well, my response was without question. I would rather help them to learn the Bible. And he was dismayed. He was surprised by the response, but he was dismayed by it because I wasn't helping him make his point. His point was going to be that that generation doesn't have those skills, I guess. I'm not sure what his point was because he didn't get to make it. But my point is not that there's anything wrong with teaching women to bake or be good cooks. It's all good. In fact, I love to cook and bake. I love to entertain in my home. Hospitality is a great ministry. In fact, there is a ministry that I've heard many good things about here in the U.S. It's called a Titus II ministry, which teaches the older women to teach the younger women. And it uses the Titus II passage where it says that women are to be reverent in the way that they live and teaching the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands. And this is a great ministry, but all women need to know the whole counsel of God, and some are gifted to teach it to others. And all women will benefit from learning the Bible. So I'd like to, this is the first part of this talk. There, it's going to change the subject in a moment, but right here I would like to give you a principle that I'd like you to remember from this first section. And here's the principle or the lesson. Something essential and important is missing in the church that does not have a Bible study led by a woman teacher. I want to repeat that. Something essential and important is missing in the church that does not have a Bible study led by women teachers. Well, as I said, we're going to change the subject. Instead of talking about why pastors need women Bible teachers, we're going to look at how women Bible teachers need their pastor. Now, you might assume that women teachers naturally find places to develop and exercise their gifts. But this isn't always true in the U.S., and it is perhaps even less likely here in Europe. In Jen Wilkins' article about women as Bible teachers, she makes the point that there are ways for a pastor to nurture the work of the talented women in his church. And so the first reason that a woman needs her pastor, a woman Bible teacher needs her pastor to affirm her. You may remember that I spoke of going to my pastor before taking on the role of teaching leader. I would have never had the courage to go for it if my pastor had not taken me seriously. Hearing his encouragement, knowing that I had his support, spurred me to go ahead despite my own misgivings and doubts. I heard him say, "Yes, this is something you will be good at." And that really made a difference for me to hear my pastor enthusiastically affirm me. A second reason that a woman teacher needs her pastor's help. A woman teaching scripture needs her pastor to sharpen her. Now, as you probably know, a woman teacher tends to have fewer opportunities to develop her gifting under sound leadership because of the constraints of work or family. Very few get to go to seminary or get degrees in Bible. And so she needs you to meet her more than halfway. She needs you to help shape her theology, to point her to good commentaries and podcasts, to gently critique her, to help her with difficult texts, and to be available for questions. And she needs you to offer this, to do these things before she asks. So pastors, don't assume that her teaching gift will flourish on its own. Pastor her into becoming a teacher who contributes meaningfully to the health of the body of believers. And I can give you an example of this. One of the women from my year-round mentoring group who has a great love for scripture found herself just really enjoying the three-step method of study that I taught the group. And this particular woman comes from a family where her grandfather and her father are both pastors, and she grew up hearing from them the delight of studying Scripture. So for her, it was like, oh, I get to be included in the deeper study of Scripture. She thrived in the year-round mentoring when she learned that three-step method, and later on, the homiletics, which is the in-depth passage analysis for speaking. And she began using these two methods faithfully in her quiet time. And you know what? As you know, as well as I do, that being daily in a systematic study of Scripture is what changes lives. And so it became natural for her to use it as an outreach. She began teaching it to women in her church in a small Bible study. And then one woman to whom she taught it began teaching it to women at her workplace. So it began to really spread. And her pastor then, she was in a Wednesday night Bible study. And as they came into the summer, the pastor who really needed a little break asked her to teach the three-step method every other week. So they alternated weeks in how they would, who would do the teaching. And he gained confidence in her. He listened to her teach, and he got to hear the things that she was learning and sharing with others, and he gained confidence in her. And sure enough, there was a time where he had a big weekend conference, and he wanted her to help him out on Sunday. So he asked her to do some teaching on Sunday. And she used the homiletics, which is that in-depth passage analysis, and she prepared a talk for that Sunday. And it's probably not something that she will do very often, but it was a lovely benefit to them both. She was able to use her gifts in her church, and her pastor was given a small rest one week. You know, it is to God's glory that this pastor nurtured this woman into being a Bible teacher who contributes meaningfully to the health of the body of believers. Well, a third reason that a woman needs her pastor. A woman teaching the Scripture needs her pastor to provide a covering for her. I know you wouldn't let anyone, even any man, teach your men. And so you don't let just any woman teach the women in your church. You want to vet her. You want to evaluate her teaching materials, just as you would a male teacher. And once you've determined that she and her teaching are sound and valuable, be supportive of her. Just like the example I gave a few minutes ago. Stick up for her if she faces unfair criticism, and vouch for her publicly. Encourage the women in your congregation to be in her Bible study. Celebrate her efforts and their results. And so I'd also like to give you another principle for this section of Scripture, and that is a lesson from this section. The women's Bible study that thrives is one that is promoted and encouraged by the pastor. The women's Bible study that thrives is one that is promoted and encouraged by the pastor. Now, in conclusion, certainly, common sense applies to your interactions with a possible woman teacher. We should certainly be wise about collaboration, but we must not be phobic. We need to find ways to work together for the common good of the church. You know, I believe that every pastor that's listening to this right now wants to have a thriving women's Bible study in your church. You want women to see that they can love God with their minds. You want to see the lives of women change, that they will be better wives, better mothers, better ministers of the gospel, whether it's in their workplace or in their homes, better Sunday school teachers, better teachers of their children and the youth, those that are in the youth work with youth. You want to see women learning to put faith before fear in their relationship with their husband, to balance their work, their ministry, and family, to support and love their husbands, and know what it means to live sacrificially and satisfyingly. Yet this will only be as women are doing personal and individual study in the Bible so that they can come together and talk about how God has taught them that week and hear from a woman teacher. The Bible charges all believers, both men and women, to be part of God's kingdom work, teaching and defending the truth of the Christian faith. Women teachers provide an indispensable layer of women, an indispensable layer of wisdom that men cannot, through our example, our perspective, and that empathetic authority over women. We possess some lessons and weapons that men do not, and our contributions are needed. But women teachers need the help of their male leadership. As those uniquely designed to speak truth to others of our gender, we need you to commit to help us handle the truth with the seriousness and the skill that it deserves. In doing so, you follow the example of our greatest teacher who walked the earth. So help us to help you. Give us a place to be equipped for the battle that we are both called to fight, to be armed for the watchtower we are both called to defend. And so by application, I would like to ask two questions. What will you do to ensure the biblical literacy of women in your church? And then secondly, what provision will you make that your women's Bible study is of good quality? And that's the conclusion of my talk to you today, but I have been asked to give just a little bit of just a little bit of information about the year-round mentoring that I do. Of course, there are lots of different year-round mentoring groups, but my group is for women in leadership. And I think our hosts, our moderators, are going to put a slide up that gives the information about that webinar. Or not webinar, here we go. It's the documents for women in leadership. It's actually my what I follow through the year. And so they're going to put it up there, and you can get that from the chat if you'd like to see what it consists of. But I'd like to tell you a little bit about it. It is a first thing I start with is a very simple three-step method of study. And the three-step method, there are lots of three-step methods, but the three-step method that I teach is one that asks the learner to find the principles in Scripture, the lessons that are for life, the truths that are true for all people for all times. And those principles are so important for us to be able to find in Scripture, and then we have to be able to find how to make application of those principles to our life. That's really what this three-step method has to do with: the content, the principle, and the application. And we do that, and then we practice it, because it's something that people get better at as they try it and as they practice it over time. It becomes second nature. It's quick and easy, and there's no excuse then for not having a little time each day to be in the Word of God. And it's surprising to me sometimes to find how many people who are in full-time Christian ministry are not really actively studying the Bible each day. I don't mean just reading, but actually systematically studying the Bible each day. This is so important. The other thing that we have in the year-round mentoring, we read two different books. One of them is called 8 Choices That Will Change a Woman's Life by Jill Briscoe. And some of you are very familiar with her work. And what she is doing in this book is teaching women to think biblically. And so it's a very important book. It's not a hard read. It's a simple read, but it helps women to think biblically. And then I teach homiletics, which I referenced earlier, which is that it's a simple form of homiletics. It's not as the kind of in-depth, kind of passage analysis that you would have so much in a seminary. It's a simpler version. But what it does is it helps women to find a way to then take what they have learned in Scripture and be able to teach it to someone else. And then our second book is called Respectable Sins by Jerry Bridges. And this book really addresses the area of sin that maybe we are not aware of and helps us to be purified in our lives. And then we continue to work on our homiletics. These ladies do two talks during the year, one in December when we're in Barcelona and one when we come back together again at the forum. Just Friday, my group that I finished with each gave about a 15-minute talk from Scripture, placing the doctrine that they chose within the Scripture that they chose and teaching it to the rest of us. I'd say the last thing that I would want to mention about this is that these women have learned what it is to be encouragers to one another. We've bonded. We've grown together in love. We all care for one another and pray for one another. And we live our lives together, even though some of it's on Zoom. But we have also learned what it is to be an encouragement to each other, to learn how to encourage a person with real encouragement, not just good job, but why is it a good job? And to be able to look for the good, see the good, and say it. So very important in women's lives, especially when they're in the scholarship of Scripture. So that is the year-round mentoring network. And I still have 3 spaces available this year, and I will be doing another group next year. So women out there who are interested in this, I hope you will go to these websites that you see in the chat and find things to look at and consider. It requires a commitment of your time. Each month we do a webinar, and of course the other kinds of teaching that I give you throughout the year requires some real study and opportunity to really grow and learn and be coached as you're growing and learning. That is the end of our session today, and I hope that it was helpful for you. There is opportunity for you to go to the chat and ask questions. So if anyone has a question, I will be happy to attempt to answer it. I don't have all the answers, but I'll do my best. I've been told it's in the Q&A box, not in the chat. So if you go to the Q&A, okay, here we go. Here's the questions. Okay, the first question here. How can you equip female leaders to go from students to teachers when they want to remain students or are in a difficult stage of life? Procuring leaders is always, I think, the most difficult part of any ministry that is growing. Is procuring leaders is probably the most difficult thing. And I think what happens is people do have a sense of insecurity about whether they could actually accomplish it well. And they think that they have to, that it will take so much time that they won't be able to accomplish everything else. And this is true. And so there has to be a conversation about what God is calling that person to do. And I always compare it to when you are investing your money in something, let's say you have money that you want to invest. You want to invest that money in the place that will give you the best return on your investment. And I like to look at my life's activities like that. What am I doing with my life so that I have the most eternal return on my investment of my time? And so it's a prayerfulness about it. There has to be a real prayerfulness about where I can have the best return of my gifting and my abilities. And so a man has got to really encourage a woman, because this question came from a man. So you have to be an encourager of that woman so that she, first of all, sees her gifts, that she sees that you have confidence in her, and that she is going to have a better return on her life's work, on the efforts that she gives, if she is in a role where she is making others disciples and discipling them in eternal things. She may have to give up other things that she's doing. We have to count the cost and to be able to put the time we need toward this. But that's what I would say. That's how I would encourage her. Another question. You speak from your own experience and the majority of being a married female Bible teacher. As a single Bible teacher, can you offer any further thoughts or points of best practice? This is a good question, and because I've always been married while I've been teaching, I didn't even come to Christ until after I was married. So my experience is different from yours. But I will say that as a single Bible teacher, you will have more time. It's just like Paul said, that you will have more time and more ability to focus on your ministry because you're single. So that is a real plus for a person that's single and Bible doing the Bible teaching. Other than that, for you to be able to use examples that come from married life as well. Thank you so much. And I think that's it for today. So that's it for me today. And thank you very much. God bless you. May God use your efforts in teaching.